Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will continue with our ongoing series of conversations on the emerging markets. Joining me for the conversation today, glad to welcome back the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Alejo Zarwanko. With that, Alejo, good morning to you. Thank you for dropping by today and for spending some time with our listeners and our clients. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dan. It's always so good to speak with you.
Absolutely. So, Alejo, I know you're joining us. It's quite timely because your team recently released the monthly flagship Investing in Emerging Markets report, the title for the latest edition, Political Twists and Turns. And I know there's a lot of timely topics within that you'll be covering for our listeners and clients today. Though, I do want to begin with currencies. The U.S. dollar has been the undisputed global reserve currency for decades, though in recent years, we have been getting a growing number of client questions on whether this can be sustained. So very curious to hear your thoughts on this.
Absolutely, Dan. Indeed, the frequency of questions from clients we've been getting on the sustainability of a U.S. dollar dominant world has really increased in the last couple of years. And I think this is justified because the global reserve currency order is without a doubt evolving. And if you consider the U.S.'s outsized fiscal deficits, the recurrent debt limit sagas, these are all eroding confidence, particularly foreign investor confidence in the United States. And, you know, consider the ongoing electoral race. It's triggering a lot of angst amongst foreign investors. There's also the fact that the independence of the Fed may be questioned under a Trump 2.0 administration. There's been reports by the Wall Street Journal in this direction. So put all of this together, and I think the questions and the inquiries are justified. All that said, Dan, you know, we look at this systematically. We track a wide range of indicators to try to gauge whether the global monetary system is heading in one direction or another direction. And we conclude that a U.S. dollar-centric world will continue for many years to come, even as the landscape becomes a little bit more diverse moving forward. Different currencies will play more important roles. Commodities might play an increasingly important part. And gold, for instance, is central among them. So the U.S. dollar-centric world is here to stay with a bit more diversification at the margin.
Very interesting, Alejo. Just continuing with this, would you be able to expand perhaps on some of the key factors behind this view?
Definitely. Consider the fact that, first, global currency regimes are quite sticky. If you look at history, you start to realize that changes in the world's dominant currency have taken a long time to materialize. And even as great economic powers have risen and fallen, their currencies they remain in power well past the peak of their influence. In addition, look at some facts of the reality today. The U.S. dollar makes up almost 60% of global central bank currency reserves. This number has been roughly stable for the last 4 years. The dollar is also used in almost 50% of global payments and dominates almost 85% of all trade finance contracts globally. For comparison, 23% of all global payments were made in euros. Trade finance share just 6%. And the numbers for the Chinese renminbi are less than 5% for each of these areas, respectively. The other factor to consider, then, is that liquidity is king. Liquidity ranks near the top of the priorities that global reserve managers look for in a currency. And the fact of the matter is the U.S. dollar remains the world's most liquid currency by quite a wide margin. It is on one side of almost 90% of every foreign exchange trade globally. The U.S. dollar offers also deep derivatives markets, forward swaps, options, among others. All this gives market participants the ability to effectively hedge exposure. There's a third factor, Dan, which has to do with stability and safety perceptions. Of course, the U.S. political atmosphere, the U.S. fiscal accounts are no doubt experiencing serious challenges. Yet the situation is not necessarily a lot better in competing jurisdictions, and in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man can remain king. Think about it. The U.S. still ranks very highly in various gauges of institutional strength, including market openness, regulatory quality, rule of law. The U.S. continues to attract large flows of foreign investment. Consider the U.S.-centric AI tech revolution and how this is acting like a magnet for foreign capital. So as challenged as many aspects of the U.S. reality are today, competitors are also struggling, right? And this is a relative game. Finally, consider geopolitics, Dan. Of course, geopolitical developments can trigger quicker adjustments in the global reserve currency landscape. As you know, China is working to accelerate the yuan's internationalization. There's efforts by groups like the BRICS to try to de-dollarize. In our analysis, these attempts are unlikely to yield overnight success. They will take time to move the needle. Yet, they do plant the seeds of a somewhat more diversified currency landscape ahead.
Well, Alejo, very helpful clarity as to the standing and status of the U.S. dollar. So with that, maybe we could dive into some of the alternative currencies and commodities that can thrive in a more diversified global currency environment. What can you share with us there?
Absolutely. To emphasize, we think that dollar's reign will live on. There will be a little bit more room for competitors along the way. I think gold is standing out amongst competitors. In a way, gold has become the diversifier of choice by investors around the world, particularly central banks. Let me give you a couple of statistics, Dan. Central banks have purchased well over 2,000 tons of gold in the last 2 years. This is the fastest pace in history. I think central banks, particularly those from the emerging markets, are likely to continue accumulating gold moving forward. 81% of those central banks polled in a recent World Gold Council survey expect to see higher global gold holdings by central banks in the year ahead. Central bank gold buying is one factor why we're positive on gold. There's also lower U.S. interest rate expectations. And by and large, you can think of gold as an effective catch-all hedge, which can protect portfolios, balance portfolios against concerns about geopolitical polarization, the U.S. fiscal deficit, inflation, a weaker dollar. Putting all together, we're penciling in a target of gold trading at $2,600 per ounce in the next 6 months. At the same time, Dan, if you're looking for opportunities outside of the U.S. dollar in the currency space, the Swiss franc stands out, and we rate it as most preferred. The Swiss National Bank is unlikely to cut interest rates much further from here, and we do think the currency offers safe haven qualities in a context of high political uncertainty in the U.S. and in Europe.
Well, Alejo Zarwanko, thank you for dropping by and for providing this clarity and guidance for our listeners and our clients, and do look forward to having you back on again soon to continue our conversation on the broader emerging markets. So thank you again, Alejo, for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Dan. Until next time.
Thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.